This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Looking to start a side hustle or become your own boss? Do it with Shopify. Whether you're selling succulents or stilettos, Shopify has the industry-leading tools to help you create, control, and grow your own business. So get serious about selling and get Shopify today. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.co.uk/special offer.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Thursday, May 23rd. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. When it comes to consumer chatbots, companies see an opportunity. They can cut costs because chatbots are cheaper than people, and they believe chatbots have the potential to improve customer experiences. But many consumers aren't big fans and complain about a host of problems with this tech. WSJ contributor Shuman Bhattacharya is going to tell us about some of the biggest issues with chatbots and what businesses are doing to address them. And then, Chinese tech giant Xiaomi is known for making gadgets like robot vacuums and air purifiers, and it's the world's third largest smartphone maker after Apple and Samsung. But now it's built something a lot bigger, a car. Reporter Xia Hua, who covers China's climate, energy, and science policy, will join us to explain how the company used its customer knowledge to create an electric vehicle in just 3 years. We're talking about chatbots first, because while companies see an opportunity, consumers often say they face problems. A survey by Forrester Research conducted last year found just 16% of consumers said they often use chatbots, and over a third said they never use them. But another survey by Forrester Research last year found 71% of more than 4,500 employees across industries said their companies were either experimenting with or implementing conversational artificial intelligence and chatbots on their websites. With us to discuss some of the mistakes consumer chatbots make is WSJ contributor Shuman Bhattacharya. Shuman, one issue users complain about with consumer chatbots is just simple communication. Why is that an issue?
Well, a lot of the chatbots on the market are still largely rules-based chatbots. So they're trained to recognize certain kinds of language, certain kinds of questions, and they don't recognize informal language, spelling errors. They sometimes can't handle multiple questions in one interaction. There's a whole host of issues that make the interactions seem a little bit unnatural. And then on the flip side of that, one of the researchers I spoke with told me that there is research that is showing that some consumers may feel more connected if they're dealing with a more human-like chatbot. But one risk with a more human-like chatbot is that consumers might have more expectations about what that chatbot could do for them, and some might think that it could advocate for them, and then they may get even more frustrated when that chatbot can't do what they expect it to do.
How has the introduction of generative AI chatbots changed things?
What sources are telling me that is the biggest issue is how to minimize inaccurate or hallucinated answers. Generative AI tools often can have a conversation like a human would and can create answers that may not be accurate. For example, when an airline client of LivePerson, an artificial intelligence technology firm, was testing a generative AI chatbot with its employees, it gave an inaccurate answer when asked about baggage fees.
So Shuman, what is the future of the chatbot experience?
What a lot of the sources told me in this story and companies I have spoken with are that companies are exploring how to roll out generative AI in their chatbot experiences. And over time, as the technology gets better, hopefully consumers will be better able to get their questions answered and feel a greater sense of satisfaction from dealing with chatbots. But there's going to be some consumers that are never going to want to interact with the chatbot.
All right, that was Shuman Bhattacharya. Thanks for joining us for this conversation.
Thank you.
Coming up, about a month after Apple ended its years-long push to create an electric vehicle, Chinese tech giant Xiaomi launched one of its own. We'll tell you how the world's third-largest smartphone maker pulled it off. That's after the break.
Lorraine and Trev finally have a night to themselves. Their daughter Liv is out, but they can't help worrying.
Weird. Liv hasn't texted us yet.
That's Liv asking for more data so she can upload a dance to...
Let me guess. TikTok.
Data sent, Lorraine, and Trev kick back to their saucy rom-com.
Now she wants picking up.
Typical.
Share data with your kids when they run out. Search EE Mobile.
Excludes no-frills plans. Terms apply.
Chinese smartphone maker Xiaomi launched its electric vehicle, the SU7 sedan, in March. Building an EV is something iPhone maker Apple tried and ultimately gave up on earlier this year. Since early April, Xiaomi said it had delivered more than 10,000 of the EVs and received nearly 90,000 binding orders. There have been reports in Chinese language media of the car being involved in minor crashes and a SU7 breaking down shortly after delivery. The company didn't respond to requests for comments on those reports. Our reporter Sha Hua says the SU7 looks like a Porsche Taycan and has features like a Tesla Model 3, and was one of the buzziest cars at the Beijing Auto Show. Sha joins us now with more on how Xiaomi pulled this off. So let's start with why Xiaomi decided to enter the car market.
So the company only seriously started looking entering the car sector after the US government blacklisted it in January 2021 for alleged ties to the Chinese military. And that meant that Americans and American companies were prohibited from investing in the company. That's at least what Lei Jun, the chief executive officer and founder of Xiaomi, told Chinese state broadcaster CCTV. So Lei Jun called in an emergency board meeting and said, there's a chance that we are not going to be able to build our smartphones anymore. So what else should we be doing? And the board suggested that he look into car making. And in March 2021, so within 2 months, the company decided that they were going to go all in. And they announced that for the next 10 years, they would invest $10 billion to make the car thing happen.
How did being a producer of smartphones and other gadgets impact Xiaomi's ability to build an EV?
Xiaomi knows how to deal with electronics, and it knows how to deal with the electronic supply chain. So I think it just had experience with all of this already. Now, Xiaomi is also very lucky that it's located in China. And China has a very large autos industry, so it also has a very complete and fast-moving supply chain. So anything that you want, you have suppliers that you can approach and say, hey, you know, I need batteries. Can you produce more batteries? And so on and so forth. And sometimes you also have pre-existing relationships because the people who are building your central screen in the car are the same people with whom you're building your iPads and your laptop screens or computer screens.
Let's talk a little bit about how Xiaomi was able to do this. Building an EV is something that Apple tried but gave up on because of costs and competition in the space. Tell us a little bit about the team and the approach that Xiaomi took to get this done.
So Xiaomi is headquartered in Beijing, and Beijing is also the regional headquarters for a few other car makers. And it also has car plants. So you have a talent pool that you can recruit from. And that's what Xiaomi did. They basically assembled a team of 6,000 people. And they just got down to business. And Xiaomi is quite unabashed about just saying, you know, we're learning from everyone's best practices. And one of the companies that they hold up as just leading is Tesla. And they said, well, Tesla is doing something that simplifies things and just makes something that used to involve, let's say, 70 components into one that now involves one component, and it's called gigacasting. So you use a giant press to basically cast one big component. It's often the frame or the underbody of a car. And Xiaomi just said, well, you know, there are also Chinese die casting companies, and they teamed up with one, Haitian, to come up with their own press. And that simplified the production, and it also makes it cheaper.
So tell us, what is Xiaomi's entry into the EV space? Tell us about the global car market at the moment, and specifically about China's position in it.
At the moment, Xiaomi is still making a loss. Lei Jun has been very clear about that. Anyone who enters the Chinese EV market is currently exposed to a cutthroat price competition. And on top of that, if you're a new entrant, you're bound to lose money. So he said that Xiaomi will need to make about 300,000 to 400,000 units of the SU-7 before it can actually break even and start making a profit. The Chinese EV market is incredibly dynamic. It's the largest EV market in the world. You have legacy players that are trying to make the transition to EVs. You have Tesla that has a giant factory, obviously, in Shanghai. And then you have a lot of Chinese upstarts like NIO and Li Autos and so on and so forth. So they're really vying with each other for market leadership. And for better or worse, it actually creates a lot of innovation.
That was our reporter, Shawa. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Anthony Bansi with supervising producer Melanie Roy. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.